Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 15. And we'll be reading the first 20 verses of this chapter. Matthew 15. Let us ask for the Lord's blessing as we look to His Word. O Lord our God, as we now turn to Your Holy Word, we pray that You would open it by Your Spirit in our hearts, that we would understand the truth of Your Word and be able to apply it properly as we meditate upon it, and as we go forth from this place to serve You. Bless us as we look to Your Word, and we thank You for Your Holy Word, which You have given to direct us, that we may know and understand and glorify You. Guide us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Matthew 15, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. We read here, Then the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. He answered them, And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, Honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, If anyone tells his father or his mother, What you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the people to him and said to them, Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person. Then the disciples came and said to him, Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? He answered, Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the pit. But Peter said to him, Explain the parable to us. And he said, Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts. Murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. And may the Lord bless His holy word as we look to it this morning. Jesus and His disciples have been ministering in various ways as we go through the book of Matthew, and we see as Jesus goes along the way that He does many marvelous things that many are blessed, but we also see that those in the religious leadership of Israel are becoming more and more upset with Jesus. Jesus is attracting attention. Jesus and His disciples are being recognized. And they're being recognized far and wide. And they greatly upset those leaders of Israel by not following the traditions the scribes and Pharisees held to be sacred. And so the scribes and Pharisees have now sent a delegation to Jesus to confront Him with their charges, with their concerns, their complaints. And today we're going to look at Jesus' reaction to them. We'll look first at how traditions develop and then how we're to react to traditions, and as we do so, we'll see the proper place for tradition in the Church of God. First of all, how do traditions develop? It's important if we're going to talk about traditions, we need to understand exactly what we're speaking about. What is a tradition? Well, the word that's used by Jesus in verse 2 of chapter 15 comes from a Greek verb meaning to deliver over or up to the power of someone. And it's often used, for example, to deliver someone up to the court to be judged, someone to be delivered up to be executed. But it also has a meaning to deliver understanding, to deliver knowledge, to deliver commands, words, various things like that. To deliver in teaching here, a practice, a doctrine, an injunction delivered or communicated from one to another, whether divine from God or whether it's human. It can be either written or oral. A tradition then is an inherited principle, an inherited standard, a practice serving as the established guide of an individual or a group. Now, a tradition can be good, or a tradition can be evil. And so, for example, in our church, we practice exclusive psalmody. We read the scripture. We pray. We celebrate the sacraments. And these are things that have been taught to us through the ages. They're traditions. They're very good traditions. They're godly traditions taught in the Word of God, commanded to us by God. Traditions can be very simple. There are other things that, just routine things, the way we order our worship. We set aside December 25th as the birthday of Jesus. It's a tradition. Those that go to White Lake Camp often sing the first verse of Psalm 145C before meals. It's a tradition. It's a good tradition. Many RP congregations celebrated the Lord's Supper in the past, and this is what I grew up with, twice each year. And that came out of it. That was a tradition that developed when there were only two or three pastors and they rode around on horseback from congregation to congregation, spending a week here, a week there, and it took in about a year, they could get around twice. It was a tradition. It was a helpful tradition. It was a blessing to the congregations. It's not a requirement of the Word of God, though. And so we see some things that are traditions that are required by God in His Word, such as the singing of the Psalms, the reading of the Scripture, prayer, the sacraments, the preaching. We see these taught in the Scripture. There are some things that are good and well to do, such as these little things that I mentioned. Traditions can be very detailed and complex. The Scripture itself fits that definition of a tradition. It's something that has been given, that has been, in the early days, was spoken, and then it was written down, and it was put in the Scripture, the Holy Word of God. And God used those who wrote it to put down this tradition for us, that we may understand, we may know God, and that we may follow His commands and do as He wishes in our lives. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 2, we see the apostle saying, "Now I commend you because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions even as I delivered them to you." And so the apostles, as they're preaching and teaching the Word of God, the traditions that they gave to those people. Good tradition. Very good traditions. Traditions commanded. In 2 Thessalonians 2:15, we read, "So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter." So spoken or written, traditions can be. And they're very good. But then, there are those traditions that are not proper. And the traditions taught by the scribes and Pharisees, or any other tradition that is contrary to the teachings of Scripture, are things that we must condemn and turn away from. Paul speaks of his past in Galatians 1:14, "And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers." Paul speaking about the way he was before he came to Christ, the traditions of his fathers he was following. In Colossians 2, verse 8, we read, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy or empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." And so we must be very careful as we look at what a tradition is, what the traditions are that are godly traditions, and what the traditions are that are ungodly traditions. Well, how did the traditions condemned by Jesus here in our passage for today develop? We go back a long way. The shock of the Babylonian captivity, it made the Jewish people realize the necessity of returning to God with their whole heart. Jeremiah had prophesied this, and it came to pass, as they realized the depth of their sin and the necessity of returning to God. Scribes such as Ezra went from Babylon to Jerusalem to study and teach God's law to the people there. And if you look at Ezra chapter 7, you'll see him doing that and his mission there as he went. Well, gradually a group of teachers, who we know as the scribes and Pharisees, arose, who spent their time developing regulations that were supposedly based on God's law and would apply God's law in the lives of the people. And they enjoyed their work. It's fascinating to study the Scripture. And they were doing that, and initially were applying that Scripture to the lives of the people and applying the Scripture. But the more they got into it, the more zealous they became. And they tried to fill in all the details not specifically stated in the Scripture. It became almost like a hobby to them. Let's see what little detail we haven't found yet, and let's write something about that. Let's come up with a rule. So there'll be a rule for everything. So the people would know exactly, in every single circumstance of life, exactly what they were supposed to do. And so we get things like, eventually, the example that I've used, and I probably used it here, of the chicken. And whether or not you could eat a certain egg on the Sabbath day. And if the egg was laid by a chicken that was kept for laying eggs, then that chicken had done work on the Sabbath and you were not to eat the egg. But if the chicken was a chicken that was to be eaten as chicken for chicken dinner, and that chicken wasn't working, you could eat that chicken. You could eat that egg on the Sabbath day. And that is how detailed they became in their set of rules and regulations. Now these people were held in high honor because they were the intellectuals. They were studying the Word. They were diligent, and everyone could see that. And so people would people would notice them. They would know who they were. And they were very important people in Israel. And their teachings were passed on from one generation to the next, verbally at first, later written down by the scribes. And each generation would build on the teachings of the previous generation. And this continues on even today. We see it in our own legal system, for example, where oftentimes the Supreme Court or the lower courts will base their decisions on prior decisions rather than on the Constitution. And you see that happening even in our day. It's the same thing as what happened with the scribes and Pharisees. The scribes as teachers would pass that tradition on to the children and along to any adults that came to be taught. And gradually these traditions got further and further from the Scripture. And for the scribes and Pharisees became more important than the Scripture. It's a very dangerous path to follow. And it's something that we in the Reformed community need to be very careful about, because we have standards that we have subordinate to the Scripture, our Westminster standards, for example. We must be very careful that we never elevate them to the level or above the Scripture. The Scripture is the ultimate ground of the truth. Well, eventually the number of the traditions grew so great that around 200 A.D., this is after the time of Christ, they were put down in writing in what's called a Mishnah. And it contains decisions of the elders in the many cases brought before them, a commentary on the law, the first five books of the Scripture. And things were put into six categories. And the categories, very quickly, were labeled seeds, which covered agriculture, tithing, the sabbatical year, the first fruits, and so on. The second one was the set feasts in the Jewish calendar. The third regarded women and topics such as betrothal, marriage, divorce. The next one was damages or injuries and all the legal details of how to deal with that. Then there were hallowed things, consecrated things, things used in worship, the rules associated with them. And then the last one was cleansings or purifications. And the issue of hand washing the scribes and Pharisees were confronting Jesus with came out of this sixth category. Later, commentaries were written on the Mishnah, not the Scripture, on the Mishnah. And they were added to it to make what's called the Talmud. And you may have heard of that, because they still use that. And it covers almost every field of study. Well, modern day traditions can develop in a very similar way to what the scribes and Pharisees did. And we have to be very careful how we develop traditions. And so someone can take a scriptural truth and bring their interpretation of it in an effort to apply the Word of God to a particular need in society. And it's not wrong to do this if the interpretation is faithful to the Scripture and not treated as if it is equal to or greater than the Scripture. And there's some examples. For example, good preaching should properly apply God's Word from the Scripture to the situations the people in the congregation hearing the message are facing. And so we come to a passage such as this, we need to apply it in a way that teaches what God intended in that passage for the readers of that passage, not something beyond that. But it's appropriate and proper to give application. And yes, the Scripture does not have all the applications in there, but the applications must conform to what's actually taught in the Scripture passage. Our Westminster Confession and RP testimony, our catechisms and so on, seek to faithfully interpret Scripture, but they're always to be considered subordinate to the Scripture. And there are times when they have to be changed. And we've done that in our church. When we find something that is not in agreement with the Scripture, and we realize that we have made an error, then when the synod meets, we make changes. Commentaries by Christian scholars seek to be faithful to the Word. A thorough study of Scripture passages helps us to understand what is contained in them. But once again, always must be taken in light of the teaching of the Scripture. Never, ever above that. And so you won't find me coming here and saying our reading this morning will be from Westminster Confession, chapter 20. And we will read chapter 20 of the Confession, and then we will preach on chapter 20 of the Confession. No, we read from the Scripture, and we preach from the Scripture, and we use the blessing of all the learning that has gone on before us to help us understand that. But the Scripture is what must come above all else. And so the problem with tradition comes when they don't actually carefully apply the truth of the Scripture as God intended it. And so, for example, people were commanded to wash their hands at various times as part of worship in Israel. But when coming into contact with someone who was ceremonially unclean, and at these times they were called upon to ceremonially wash their hands. But there was no biblical requirement for a ceremonial hand washing by everyone before every meal. But it became the tradition of the Pharisees and scribes to do this as they added various washings to the scriptural commands as part of their interpretation. And so we must examine our practices to see if they conform to the teachings of Scripture and don't go beyond what the Scripture requires. So how should we react to traditions? What's their proper place? First of all, we must confront abuses and repent of our errors. Jesus, in our passage for today, confronts the abuses of the scribes and Pharisees and condemns their sinfulness. You see, the scribes and Pharisees place their traditions above God's commandments. For example, Jesus here condemns their breaking the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. And they broke it for the sake of their tradition. And so they would say, if parents were getting older and it was time for the younger generation to help out the parents, they would say, oh, but what I was going to help you with, I'm giving to the church. And so I'm sorry, but there's nothing for you. And that's what they were doing. And their tradition said, as long as you declare that it's set aside for the work of God, then you don't have to give it to your parents. You don't have to help them out. You just declare it. And oftentimes, they just kept it for themselves. They didn't help their parents. But they used these traditions as an excuse to get around the fifth commandment. While Jesus' disciples transgress the Pharisaic traditions, the Pharisees transgress the commandments of God. The scribes and Pharisees had reached the point where outward conformity to their traditions was equated with obedience to God. And so if you followed the traditions, you were right with God. That was how you became right with God. It was not through faith in the promised Messiah. No, it was through keeping all the traditions, step by step by step. And if you did that, you were right with God. So there was no true heart commitment. It was simply an act, an outward act. I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do that. And I'm okay. We need to be careful that we don't adopt that in our own lives. Scribes and Pharisees had made the Word of God null and void for the sake of their traditions. Jesus and His disciples, on the other hand, were concerned that God's commands be obediently followed, not just outwardly, but from a heart that was committed to the Lord. The Pharisees and scribes were guilty of taking the name of the Lord in vain. They called upon the name of the Lord, but their hearts were not in it. Their hearts were with their traditions and all the things that they could put on their list. They were guilty of false worship. And Jesus quotes here from Isaiah 29, verse 13, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." He's speaking about the religious leaders of Israel, the elders, those who would serve as pastors. "And they were far from me," he says. "In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." What a condemnation. Jesus shows the folly of the complaint against his disciples. They were concerned that failure to ceremonially wash your hands before eating meant that all the food consumed was defiled. That's what the Pharisees were saying. It's unclean. But Jesus shows the defilement really comes from a sinful heart. What comes out of the mouth is defiled, not what goes in. The Pharisees have made themselves spiritually blind with their traditions, and are leading the people who are also blind to destruction. And Jesus tells his disciples to let them go. Let them alone to perish because they refuse to repent. They refuse to repent. And so, at the day of judgment, they've gone their way, they've done all their supposed good deeds. And Jesus will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Jesus shows the absolute necessity of following God's commands. And this applies to us today, as well as to the people Jesus was addressing when he was on earth. We must not let our zeal lead us to add unbiblical requirements to God's commands. And when we are confronted with error in what we teach or believe or do, we must turn away from that. We must adopt the teachings that are in agreement with God's commands. Realize not all traditions are bad, as we said. There are many good traditions, proper traditions, and those are fine. Scripture must be our final authority. Is that your final authority? Are you prepared if you have a tradition that is contrary to the Scripture to turn away from it? It's not an easy thing to do, but it is commanded by God. May He give us the grace to study carefully His Word and apply that Word in our lives and not vary in any way from the truth contained therein. Let's pray. Oh Lord our God, it's easy to see how traditions develop. And we may have some of our own that need to be repented of. We thank you for the truth of your word and the way that that tradition, that true tradition, has passed to us. And we pray that you would help us as we evaluate all the things that we do and say, the things that we believe, that we would do so in the light of the Scripture, and that we would turn away from anything that does not follow your commands. Bless us. Give us understanding, O God. Forgive us where we have failed, where we have adopted traditions that are contrary to your word. And grant us wisdom that we may know your word and that we may know you and serve you faithfully. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.